This podcast is brought to you by the Islamic Center at NYU. For more information, visit our website at www.icnyu.org.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him, we praise Him, we glorify Him. We beseech Him to send His choicest salutations upon His most beloved, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and upon all those who choose to tread in His path until the last day. Alhamdulillah, we're blessed to be together on this Mubarak day of Jum'ah. May Allah make us from amongst those who gain from its unique benefits, both apparent and hidden. Despite physical separation, we still have full capacity and means to come together in a state of spiritual connectedness. That the state of the believer is such that we embrace change and seek to find adaptation as one of our desired characteristics, and may Allah make us from the mu'mineen. We find ourselves in unique circumstance in that there's so many examples around us that juxtapose principles of goodness and wrongness. Every day we turn on the news and it seems as if the news that we're reading is not known to be new news or old news, that there's so much that is just similar and the days seem to bleed into each other. And fundamentally the question comes up as to what is the point of all of it and how is it that people are pursuant of the things that they are pursuant of? Most of the decisions that you and I make in the course of our life is done so in hopes of gaining some type of contentment or happiness. You pursue what you pursue professionally, you pursue what you pursue academically, you go to the social circles that you go to, you seek to be married, you seek to establish families, you seek to have children, you seek to go in pursuit of many things. The broader sense that through it you will yield some semblance of happiness, some semblance of balance inwardly. When we get to a place where we start to find futility in things that are around us, the novelty of an object, the uniqueness of something material, the feeling starts to wear off. The choice comes to us now as to thinking, well, what is the real root of our sense of contentment versus what is it that just gives us the facade of it and has us chasing after things that create not stability, but really a sense of unbalance and a sense of instability. Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Adiyat, He says to us, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ, that indeed man towards his Lord is most ungrateful. وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ, essentially that a person is evidence in and of themselves to indicate that indeed upon that thing, they are a witness themselves. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ, and indeed their love for wealth is quite severe. Why this is something that's imperative is that, to me, what becomes the bigger block to our pursuit of happiness is the impact that we have imposed upon us, that takes within us this innate desire to not find satisfaction in what we have, but to seek to find satisfaction in having more. Greed we sometimes picture and conceptualize in our minds as somebody sitting in a big corporate structure, the head of a company, making decisions to destroy the lives of masses. But our tradition tells us that the son of Adam, the children of Adam, which is all of us, you and I. We have this unique characteristic that if we were given a mountain of gold, we would go to seek out another mountain of gold. It doesn't ever seem to be enough. And so if we remove this hyper understanding of greed and deflect it to someone else and bring a definition back to ourselves that seeks to understand these verses of the Quran, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهُ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. That indeed man towards their Lord, their Rabb, is ungrateful. That you yourself are an evidence of this. And that our love for things that are worldly, things of wealth, is quite severe. That we put our trust and our reliance in things that are material for distinct reasons. Some of us don't have a firm grasp on the embrace of our own mortality. The infiniteness that is Jannah, may Allah make us people of paradise, what it really means for something to be forever and eternal. Either through an absence of reflection and contemplation, or a gap in our own process of what we really believe and the bigger sense of belief has us fear death and see it as something that's an end rather than a means to begin the next phase in our journey back to what is forever and to get to where it was that we came from. And so not knowing how to deal with uncertainty and not knowing how to embrace what we don't have control over, we seek to put ourselves in places and in pursuit of things that we can control, to find stability in what is actually something that is tangible. And we try to increase in possessions, giving us the facade of dealing with mortality in a very feeble attempt at bringing an answer to the question of uncertainty, because it doesn't really answer the question there in and of itself. We also are pursuant of greed within a sense of our own innate characteristics of what wealth can do to us. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ, says the Qur'an in Surah Al-Adiyat, that indeed man's love for wealth is quite severe, shadeed. It's serious. A social experiment took place where individuals were playing a game like Monopoly. And the individual who brings these people together is a man by the name of Paul Piff, who seeks to understand how greed functions within people. And so one of the players in this social experiment is given an unfair advantage over the other participant. And not only is he gaining wealth, but with the wealth, he gains more wealth and more wealth. And as the experiment continues, the acquisition of wealth and its increase corresponds directly now to how the player who's gaining in wealth wants to have more of the wealth and how he begins to treat one who has less of it. His movement around the boards louder and louder, and he makes comments on how he has more and others have less, but in a way that's condescending, a way that is distancing. And at the end of the game, when the players are asked about how they played, there's not even real money, it's fake money. The players who were given the unfair advantage, they don't speak about their unfair advantage at all. They say that they accrued more and had the ability to accrue more because they played smarter. They knew the rules better. They worked harder. Nothing attached to advantage or disadvantage. But this is where reality can be disrupted from elements like gratitude that you see from that experiment and other experiments that this man, Paul Piff, who's trying to understand greed, undertakes. Is that the acquisition of more and more, feeding the nafs, evidencing the hadith that says that the child of Adam will be more unsatiated the more that they are given. You give him a mountain of gold, he's going to want more mountains of gold. That these experiments were giving us indications of what these hadith are illustrating. That there is a direct relation between what we acquire and how we acquire it, and its increase, and a decrease in a sense of compassion and empathy. What became interesting in these experiments was that where and how an individual had just a nudge or a reminder of something that was empathetic, some aspect of contentment. Bring your food here and come sit with me. Sorry. That just a simple 45-second video for participants to see people in poverty had them now break away from habits that were regular and to then move towards generosity and to be a mode of assistance for people in need at that point that they were able to, which gave indication that the ability to remind and bring people back didn't take so much, but it still takes something deliberate. And that's where gratitude becomes the key variable and factor. Challenges with words like this, the pursuance of it in a consumer-driven society that teaches us that our happiness is based off of buying what it is that people try to sell to us, becomes hard because language at times is antiquated. We don't talk about greed so much in the sense of the self. We don't talk about gratitude so much in the sense of the self. And where and how we play a role in our own decisions that will yield for us balance inwardly and outwardly. And a consumer-driven society is going to feed into that innate of sense of wanting to elevate yourself and finding false stability in denial of mortality, in purchasing things, and wanting more, and wanting more, and wanting more, all for the wrong reason. What our tradition tells us is that gratitude becomes intrinsically linked in breaking that thing down. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ, that indeed man towards his Lord is ungrateful. وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ, and indeed, he is an evidence of that in and of himself. You want to know where you rely upon yourself versus your Lord versus possessions? You want to see your own characteristics? The Quran tells you and I that we are evidence for ourselves of what we are about and what we pursue. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ, and indeed, that man's love for wealth, the world, is quite severe. It is shadid. And so the disruption of it is not so tangible when we use words that at times we don't have familiarity with or regular engagement in our common parlance. And we seek now to satisfy something that is meant to be unsatiable. The nafs is not going to ever be satisfied. It wants you to be lazy. It wants you to not be generous. It wants you to do the least and gain the most. It wants you to look at what you don't have, where the vision of the believer is to be one to see what they do have, what they do possess. To look with gratitude is to not deem yourself ungrateful. You don't want to think in absolutes. but to break up the monotony of the cycle that at times can encapsulate our minds and our entire beings, to be those who become robotic and animalistic in pursuit of our own sense of survival, not wanting to be those who embrace our mortality with a sense of invigoration that says that I will get back to where I'm supposed to be and where I came from. And so you sit and you embed into your daily reflection. I sit and embed into my daily reflection at the start of the day, at the end of the day. What do I seek to gain from this day that's ahead of me? And what is it that I took from it that was so remarkable? Where do I look into everything that surrounds me, in the room that I'm sitting in, the places that I have, of things that were so meaningful to me, that even though the novelty of it has passed, I am still able to find deep connection to it? And that gratitude becomes a vision modifier that says that I don't really need to have all of these things that this world tells me that I need to chase after. That I can find contentment in what it is that I have, and when I go to get more, I do so even in pursuit of contentment with gratitude. The word kanud in and of itself means ungrateful, but it is different from the word kufr, which also means ingratitude. Because when you are kanud, it is a deeper aspect of ingratitude, that you don't recognize where the blessing came from, the gift. Who is the gift giver? You use the gift when you are kanud in a way that is contrary for its intended use. That somebody gave you life, but you lose it in pursuit of something other than it. That if you were to lend me an object for a certain purpose and I then used it in a way that you wouldn't be pleased with, I'm not doing right by you. That is kanud. That you don't recognize the one who gave it to you, that is kanud. And Surah Al-Adiyat is saying that that is what man has the potential of being. And it makes then the connection to wealth and its acquisition. It's not that rich people can't be happy, but it also isn't that poor people can't be happy. If I was to ask you today, are you having a good day? And then I was to say, why or why not? And perhaps you were having a bad day, and the same question, why or why not? And simply in your reflection and contemplation to write out, why are you having a good day? Why are you having a bad day? When you sat with it for some moments and you thought about what made your day good or what made your day not good. And then we ask the question that, do you want to have a good day tomorrow? Do you want to have a good week ahead of you? Do you want to have a good day next Friday? And what will make it good? And if you look down at what you wrote, and your list of items are attached to things that exist external to you, then you have made your happiness, your contentment, reliant upon things that are beyond you as a body and a soul, and you make it much easier then to be someone who is without happiness when that thing is not in your presence. The word happiness in and of itself to me is a problematic word, and I think contentment is better because contentment allows for balance. And it still allows for me to be sad and to be anxious and to have grief and to have anxiety, which are all normal emotions. And Allah is the one who gave us all of our emotions to begin with. They all have a purpose. Happiness at times tells us that we have to always be joyful and smiling, and that there's no loss in life or pain in life or difficulty in life that can bring down our mood. But you and I have a Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who shed tears at the loss of loved ones, who found himself in a state of difficulty and disarray at various parts in his prophetic journey sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wrestling with these two concepts will become quite critical. And if that list that you make is something that is external to you alone and is not inward, then your sense of contentment and balance will be based off of then being in the presence of those things. What will you do if they're not in your presence? But if you start to build the inward sense through the practice of gratitude, the doing of it, the sitting down in reflection on what is it that I have that is good for me, that fulfills what I need, and doesn't have me chase after my wants, you'll find yourself in a distinct state inwardly that you will carry with you to every place that you go, regardless of who the people are around you, what the weather is around you, what the situation is around you. And it does not mean that you will not get sad. We get sad. That's what it means to be human. It does not mean that you will not feel pain. We feel pain. That's a human thing to feel. It does not mean you will not feel anxiety or anguish or difficulty or grief or anything else that doesn't feel good to feel. But the stability will be a mechanism through which you can find meaning and balance through it and still maintain contentment as the default. Rather than trying to satisfy what was made to be unsatiable. Don't be the son or daughter of Adam that seeks to pursue more after they have everything that they even need. It is a silly venture to go out and look for something that you already possess, when you could be sitting with what you have already that is exactly what it was that you were looking for. And you break the greed that exists within, the selfishness, the self-centeredness that is still rooted in the arrogance that is indicative of Iblis. And on this blessed day of Jummah, you sit down and you think to yourself, what is it that Allah has given to me that I am grateful for? What is it that Allah has provided to me that I find meaning through? And how do I ensure for myself that I will benefit from those things by engaging them in meaningful, deliberate ways? My son Kareem is here with us today. As you might notice, there's a little face that's sticking out of my armpit. Kareem, you want to say assalamu alaikum? You remember some weeks ago, Kareem had joined us as well. And now with the schools operating fully remote, alhamdulillah, we have him here again, which is amazing for me because I love having him with me wherever it is that I go. And so Kareem was going to read, I think, some Quran for us today again, like he did some weeks ago. Do you want to still do that? Yeah? What surah are you going to read? So Kareem's going to read Surah Qadr. You want to come sit here? Okay. And after that, we'll make some dua, inshallah, and we'll close up for today. So Kareem's going to read Surah Qadr for us. You say, start with Bismillah.
Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Laylatil qadr. Wa ma adraka ma laylatil qadr. Laylatil qadr khayrun min alf shahr. تنسل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر.
صدق الله
العظيم.
Good job, mashallah. That was Kareem, mashallah. Kareem Gabriel Latif. Please make dua for him, his sister Medina. For my wife Priya and I, for our entire family, as we'll make dua for you all and your loved ones as always, and our community at large. And any duas and prayers that you make for me and my loved ones, which includes you all as my loved ones, my prayer will be that Allah Zawjal grants you and your loved ones better than what it is that you asked Him for me and mine. Some dua requests that we had for us today on this blessed day of Jummah. We had a few requests in particular. Alhamdulillah, the good news of the birth of Inayah Iqbal Ward, who was born to Nick Ward and Soha Iqbal, two members of our community. Please make dua for our baby sister Inayah, that Allah blesses her and makes her from his closest of righteous servants, preserves and protects her, and increases her and her loved ones in only that which is good. And make us as members of her community from amongst those that she counts amongst her blessings. We had some dua requests for those who have passed away. Our brother Ahmed Jamil Hassan has passed away in Pakistan from complications due to COVID-19. He is the father of Usman Hassan and father-in-law of Anam Haroon, both who are members of our community at the Islamic Center at NYU. We have Haja Marie Bangura, who is the grandmother of Asiata Kamara, who is an alum of the NYU Wagner School and member of our community. She passed away, as well as, unfortunately, the 10-month-old niece of our sister Asiata Kamara as well. Kadiatu, 10-month-old niece, passed away. Please make dua for their entire family, who experienced the loss of two of their closest relatives, the elderly grandmother and 10-month-old baby girl, in a short period of time. And then we have Dr. Ali Hikmati, who is the father of Leila Hikmati, a member of our community and a graduate of the NYU Silver School in the class of 2017, who had passed away. We sent out a message earlier in our regular dua requests that includes a link for a scholarship endowment fund that has been started in Dr. Hikmati's name. You can find that link online, as well as at the mcc.edu website. If you'd like to make a contribution on behalf of Dr. Hikmati to this fund, it's going to be providing scholarships to students in the Flint community in Michigan majoring in science and medicine. And it's going to be a means through which those who are marginalized in the greater Flint community will be able to attend universities. So please do consider contributing to that. And then we had some other dua requests as well. A sister in the community has asked us to make dua for her, as she is facing a potential layoff at work as corporations continue to downsize due to COVID. Another sister in the community has been diagnosed with a second bout with cancer and may need a potential mastectomy, and has asked us to make dua for her. The mother of one of our community members, Tasnia Ahmed, was diagnosed with an early stage of breast cancer and will be undergoing medical procedures this week. One of our alumni has been experiencing migraines these past months, and has been developed now other neurological symptoms that are impacting his day-to-day. He's asked us to make dua for him as well. Please keep all of these people in your duas, and all others as well as yourself, that Allah grant them a complete healing and shifa for those who find themselves in a state of ailment, brings ease to the hearts of those who have lost loved ones, and bestows his maghfirah upon those who have passed from this world. Please join me in making a short dua as we close. And I would ask that where and how you are participating in this, that if there are particular duas you'd like for us to make as well, to input them into the platforms that you are on. And those who are on those platforms, if you can look for them and say ameen to those prayers as well, it would be appreciated. Allahumma ameen. اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لوجهك وعظيم سلطانك لك الحمد حمدا طاهرا طيبا مباركا فيه لا يوم الدين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد في الأولين وفي الآخرين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين اللهم اجعلنا من المخلصين. We begin this supplication in your name, Ya Allah, and beseech you to send your choicest salutations upon your most beloved Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam. We ask that you shower your infinite mercy upon this gathering, granting each and every one who is present herein and our loved ones only the best in this world and the best in the next. We ask, Ya Allah, that if all of us are meant to be together only at this time, at this place, whether we are young or old, male or female, regardless of our race, our ethnicity, our social class, our country of origin, our cultural heritage, whether we are Muslim or come from a different walk of life, Ya Rabbi, if our individual hearts are meant to be in the presence of all other hearts that are gathered here only at this time, at this place, then gather us all together again in the best of places in the world beyond this one. Increase us, Ya Allah, in all that is good. Increase us in courage, confidence, and compassion. Remove from our hearts any feelings of bitterness, jealousy, animosity, or envy. Protect us from any and all afflictions, anxieties, or anguishes of any kind. Put into our hearts a deep sense of love and compassion. Give us hearts that are drawn towards only things of goodness and beauty. And grant us hearts that are lost in your remembrance. For indeed in your remembrance do hearts find rest. Make us from amongst those, Ya Rab, who fight the nafs that seeks to control us day in and day out for victory over our hearts. And grant us victory, Ya Rab, and make us those who see this world with a heart that is not attached to it, but a heart that is attached to the world beyond this one, a heart that is attached to you, Ya Allah. Make us those who silence the unsatiable greed that beckons us to look at what we do not have, and help us to be people of real appreciation and gratitude, who embrace all of the things that we have been given. On this day of Jummah, Ya Allah, open our hearts to turn to you. Make us from amongst those who find that hour that your beloved, peace and blessings be upon him, has said that within it any dua that is made is accepted. For all those who find themselves in any state of difficulty, Ya Rab, alleviate for them their hardship, and make us a means through which they are given healing, benefit, and support. For all those who find themselves in any state of struggle, Ya Allah, send to them only the best of helpers and supporters. And help each one of us recognize how it is that we can be there for someone else in their time of need. Make the Quran our guide and grant us a deep understanding of it. Make the Sunnah our aspiration, both inward and outward aspects of it. And make prayer our anchor, granting us the sweetness that only Salah and Dua can. Make the best of our deeds the last of our deeds. And let not any one of us leave this world other than in a state that is most pleasing to you. Protect us always from hearts that are not humble, tongues that are not wise, and eyes that have forgotten how to cry. Forgive us for our shortcomings and guide and bless us all. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta samiul alim. Wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka anta tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. جزاكم الله خير. I hope you all are keeping well and staying safe, inshallah. May Allah bless you immensely on this blessed day of Jummah. If possible, please consider making contribution to our Islamic Center at New York University, which is a completely fundraised initiative. And like many other institutions, we are in a place where we are impacted by everything happening in the world. You can go to icnyu.org/donate to contribute whatever you can. And there as well, you can find notice on events and programs that we have coming up. But I hope you and your loved ones are doing well. You are always in my prayers. And if you need anything, please don't hesitate in reaching out. We'll do our best to assist you in whatever way we can. جزاكم الله خير والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
If you would like to listen to more, please donate to www.icnyu.org/donate. For more of our virtual programs, go to www.icnyu.org/classes. If you have any questions, email us at info@icnyu.org.